And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, God Loves the Church. God loves the church. Plus, we're going to look at the drain of complain. Ooh, do you know that rhymes? You know that? And for those that are really into it, just get ready. It's going to blow your mind, especially if you're thinking, we're going to talk about Governor Jerry Brown and the border wall. And you have not heard this yet. Also, we're going to close this hour with today's Facebook post, Just a Good Idea.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Quick hello to Robin. How you doing, Robin? Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Oh, just way too much. So much, I can't even believe it. It's just so much more. It's like more greater than even more, if you can have that sign. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473. 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. But stand by for SRN News.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The White House is not ruling out that an administration official was the source to the surveillance claim by the GOP chairman of the House Intelligence Committee.
One day before announcing he had evidence that President Trump and his associates were incidentally captured in U.S. surveillance, Congressman Devin Nunes was on White House grounds. Asked about that suspicious visit, Press Secretary Sean Spicer couldn't rule out who provided Nunes with evidence or if they did.
I can't say 100% that I know anything what he briefed him on. What I can tell you through his public comments is that he has said that he had multiple sources.
Spicer says any questions concerning the Nunes meeting should be directed to the chairman. Greg Clugston, the White House.
The nomination of Judge Neil Gorsuch for the U.S. Supreme Court is held over for another week.
The rules of the Senate Judiciary Committee allow any member to place a one-week hold or delay the vote on a nomination. That's exactly what the minority Democrats did. Ranking Democrat Dianne Feinstein said the reason, at least in part, was due to how President Obama's nominee, Judge Merrick Garland, was treated.
That individual couldn't get a hearing, a meeting, or be considered.
Chairman Chuck Grassley didn't dispute that fact. Instead, he spoke about Neil Gorsuch.
Before the hearing started, we all knew how qualified the judge is.
The Senate Judiciary Committee now votes on the Gorsuch nomination next Monday. Linda Kenyon, Capitol Hill.
It's official. The National Football League's Oakland Raiders are moving to Las Vegas. Raiders owner Mark Davis says he knows there'll be anger and hurt feelings in Oakland.
And I just hope that in the future, as we play in Oakland this year, that they understand that it wasn't the players, it wasn't the coaches that made this decision, but it was me that made it. And if they have anybody to talk to about it, it should be me. And I will, in the coming days, try to explain to them what went into making this difficult decision.
On Wall Street, the Dow down by 46 points, the NASDAQ rose 12, the S&P declined 2, oil down to $47.73 a barrel. This is SRN News.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
It's possible to live with someone without truly knowing them.
This is Real Family Life with Dennis Rainey for Monday, March 27th. Here's a 91-year-old man reflecting back on his life.
It would have been much better for me to spend time with my wife and my kids than with out whooping it up with the boys on the golf course and people that I was doing business with. So my advice to you is spend more time with them. That's where I missed the boat.
That's a tragedy. A friend of mine, Gary Rosberg, was headed down the same road. The thing keeping him from his family wasn't golf. It was the rigorous demands of school as he studied for his doctorate degree in counseling. Lying in bed one night, he asked his wife, Barbara, what he described as one of the most frightening questions of his life. He asked, "Can I come home?" Her response was, "We love you. We want you. We need you. But we don't know you." He had been so busy and distant that his own family didn't know him. Gary resolved to change and now is a loving husband, an involved dad, and yes, an excellent counselor as well. One final thought. Does your family truly know you? Do you need to come home? Make sure there's nothing that threatens the most important relationships in your life. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Oh, so much stuff. Let's start with the necessities. That's like the necessities. First and foremost, I want you to understand this segment brought to you by our good friend Sam Rasool, who's going to be in the studio on, now I can't remember if it's Wednesday or Thursday. I can't remember what I told you. I think it's Wednesday. I think he's coming in around 3-ish or 2-ish or something like that. Let's keep in mind what we're talking about when we're talking to Sam, one of the top real estate agents in the country. Top 20 out of the top 25,000. You realize that 2,500 is 10%. 250, I'm just making sure everybody knows that, is 0.1%. So therefore, the top 25 is 1/100th of 1% at the top. Pretty good. Not too shabby. We want you to know you can get in touch with Sam. ThinkSam.com. ThinkSam.com. You can call him at 858-780-1-SAM. That's 858-780-1-SAM. If you are looking to buy or sell a house, Sam takes 25% of that gross commission he makes and gives it to whatever church or ministry you want. If you need help on your house, up to $25,000 he will front for you to get the house fixed up. He takes the money back out at the close of escrow, doesn't charge any interest, keeping it simple. And if you need somebody to come and talk to you about your house, Sam is the man, period. He will spend time. He won't just go and say, here's the number, figure it out. He'll sit down and talk with you and tell you what it can and can't be. And then you can decide whether you want to work with him. That's pretty simple. ThinkSam.com, 858-780-1-SAM. And Tugboat Todd and I, when we are referring other people to Sam, but it's not directly them calling Sam. When it's a friend of a friend, a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend, if it's a worker of a worker of a worker of a worker, if it's a relative of a relative of a relative of a relative, we say,
send them to Sam.
That's right. ThinkSam.com. Keeping it easy, keeping it real. All right. The next thing we want to bring up for you is our good friend Steve Wheeler, who is, I don't know if he's in Japan right now or he's going to Japan right now or he's doing something where that guy, I don't think, I mean, he spends more time out of the country than he does in the country. A lot of time in Canada, but that's just because he feels he owes, you know, snow a visit or something. I don't know. I lived by Canada. I went there. It's beautiful. Canada's beautiful. A little cold, but I like cold, so not too bad. Here's the deal with Steve. Whitefields Ministries, taking the gospel to the four corners of the earth, taking rural pastors and encouraging them. You know how hard it is to pastor. I mean, most people understand it's a spiritual warfare element. Now take that and put it in a place where spiritual warfare is exceedingly heightened. And then take that and recognize that there's no additional pastors all around just to give boosts or financial support. And then understand what Whitefields Ministries is doing. Now, Steve gave a fantastic explanation of where Whitefields gets its name, coming out of the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And we're going to move that into a commercial form so that people can really understand that. But what an excellent explanation. And instead of even telling you about it, I'm going to encourage you to go to the podcast and check it out. And he explains the depth of Whitefield and why Jesus said the fields are white. Most people don't even understand, but that was because the fields wasn't the actual harvest, but people coming to Jesus from the town, from the woman at the well. Fascinating stuff. Also, another thing that Whitefields is involved with, of course, is networking between ministries and churches, which is always a powerful ministry element. So we encourage you to pray for Whitefields Ministries. We encourage you to visit whitefields.org. Take some time, spend some time praying, ask the Lord to give them direction. And most specifically, because it bothers me a little bit, I'm just being honest, Steve sometimes goes into the red zone, and that makes me feel a little uncomfortable sometimes. So just keep in prayer for them for safety. I know he's just doing the Lord's business and whatever is whatever, but that doesn't mean you can't pray for safety, for good travel. In fact, in Scripture, there is multiple references to good travel, well travel, all the way from Nehemiah to Paul. Just for those that are looking for
people
building.
That want that Whitefield explanation, yeah. It's from last Monday's podcast, March 20th.
So it's March 20th. That was good. Good memory. Good job. I, of course, have lost my mind. So thank you for pointing that out. Let's get into our first DDD, God Loves the Church. What sound do we have for that?
Take me to church.
Yeah, it's not the longest sound, but it'll work. Here we go. Coming out of Malachi, you're not really thinking oftentimes you go into the book of Malachi, which, by the way, is the 39th book, right, out of the Old Testament. There's 66 books, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament before we get back into Matthew in the sense of how the order of the canon was put together. This is the title, God Loves the Church, Malachi 2:11. Judah has acted treacherously, and a detestable thing has been done in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the Lord's sanctuary, which he loves, and Judah has married the daughter of a foreign god. Dave, supposed to start these things off with a smile. I'm smiling. I'm just telling you, I'm smiling. I got a big smile. The detestable things that God is talking about is the people in Israel, the people in Jerusalem. When it says being married, marrying the daughter of a foreign god, it is, in fact, in its most direct application, people in Israel, people in Jerusalem who've actually married people that are anti-Jehovah. So you got to understand where the Lord's coming from in this. It's like they didn't just marry outside of the tribe, which is what a lot of purists try to create. They married people that were anti-God, anti-Christ, as it were, people that hated God. And these people in Jerusalem and in Israel married these people and brought them into their lives, these people that hate God. And the Lord is like going, hey, hey, you're hooking up. You're connecting to people that serve foreign gods. They hate me, and you're connecting to foreign gods through them. This is pretty detestable. We would use this phrase. That's pretty disgusting. That's just, like, unbelievable. All this stuff I've done for you, and you're going to connect to foreign gods. It's like, what? I've given you all this and I've done all of these things. And the Lord says this one phrase, which is the part I really want to talk about, and that is here where it says, Judah has profaned the Lord's sanctuary, which he loves. Now, there is not a one of us that could not point to a church somewhere and go, ew, yuck. I mean, we can all do that. But there is this biblical truth that Jesus is in the middle of the lampstands, which means the lampstands, of course, in Revelation are told to us that those lampstands represent the church. Jesus is in the middle of the church. Yes, the church looks messy. Yes, the church has problems. But the church is still a work in progress like you are a work in progress. And God is still working in his church. And by the way, he loves his church. He loves his people. Does he love any one particular denomination more than another? No. That is so immature. It's not even funny. Well, Dave, he loves Methodists more than he loves Pentecostals. Sure he does. Put down the Cracker Jacks. Take it easy. Take a deep breath. God doesn't love one denomination more than another. God loves the people that call upon his name in truth and sincerity, who do not defile him, are not detestable to him, and go after foreign gods. I don't care if you're Baptist or Pentecostal. I don't care if you speak in tongues or hate people that speak. Who cares? Really? They're going to shoot Christians, and that's your issue. Guess what? The Baptist and the Pentecostal will both get shot because the world doesn't care. So let's put that stuff down and get a handle on some of this. God loves his people. He loves his church. He loves his sanctuary. When you talk about a part of his body that you don't like, you must understand you are talking against God's bride. You do that at your own peril. You don't like one part of the church and don't fellowship, but that's fine. You despise it and speak evil of it, then you have a given account of him for whom they serve. Why would you do that? Let's do this. If you don't agree, pray that God blesses them with more of God. Everybody in the Christian universe can agree with that prayer. If you don't connect to something, pray that God just blesses them with more of him. Because that is often the answer of life, isn't it? That's the way we should be thinking about the sanctuary of God and the church of God. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, and then we're coming back talking about the drain of complain.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Is the church's approach to fighting homelessness working? Yes, and we have some examples to prove it. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. When it comes to America's homeless, Christian organizations set out to do more than offer a hot meal and a safe place to stay. They believe that in order to best serve their needy neighbors, they must get to know them. Jim Rees, president and CEO of Atlanta Missions, tells Christianity Today, instead of being a kitchen cook, you'd be out at the tables with the people, then asking, how do you change lives? It comes from creating a relationship with them and building trust. The Atlanta Mission serves 1,000 homeless men, women, and children a day in its shelters, programs, and transitional homes. Though religious nonprofits in some locales have faced escalating restrictions on homeless outreach in recent years, their efforts are working. researchers discovered that faith-based organizations' relational approach leads to a deeper understanding of the complexity of homelessness and better outcomes for their clients and cities. Ministries provide 60% of emergency shelter spots available in 11 major American cities. And the more faith-based shelters operating, the smaller its homeless population, according to a recent Baylor University study. And the result for taxpayers is substantial. In the 11 locales studied, faith-based nonprofits were particularly effective at saving taxpayers an estimated $119 million with their care and training. Well, these days, health insurance is incredibly expensive, especially if you don't have coverage through your employer. If you're concerned about the costs or the ethical dilemmas of insurance, here's great news. There's an affordable, God-honoring alternative called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. MediShare is not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable, biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. Here in San Diego, California. A couple things we need to review. Very helpful to do so. So let's make sure we do that. Gaither Vocal Band going to be taking place Sunday, April 9th at Shadow Mountain Community Church. More information, go to gaither.com. Don't forget about the Pastor's Masters. If you're feeling like you can get the golf club going, or if you feel like you can get the fellowship going, if you feel like you can eat cheeseburgers, though there won't be cheeseburgers, if you feel like you can eat cheeseburgers with one another, if you understand that the warfare is concentrated against believers and against leaders for a reason, and getting together is a strengthening of one another's faith, because that's what fellowship does for us, if you're looking to have that great fellowship, a great lunch, a special gift, awards, desserts, and laughs, as you meet one another, I think the laughs has to do with people looking at other people hitting the golf ball. Because, like, you know, I know that pastors don't want to admit it, but they'll hit the ball, and then all of a sudden they really understand the full teaching of forgiveness, and they go, mulligan? I'm just saying. It happens. I've been to several of these. That's how it happens. So for more information, you want to go to kprz.com. That's a great way to get the information on the Pastor's Masters Golf Tournament. This is our 7th annual, and I believe this is the 5th one that I've done. That's pretty good, right? It's kind of on target. Okay, and then don't forget school tuitions, half-price tuitions. Now, I'm waiting to get the word. There's some type of word coming down along the lines that there's going to be a blowout discount on a couple of them that we have. 75% off. So if it was normally $4,000, it would be $1,000. You got to be kidding. That's unbelievable. They'll all be gone in a heartbeat.
So, can I go back to school?
Yeah, that's, you better get set because this is going to be like, boo, boo. That's right. Our show has sound effects. Don't ask why. We just do. All right. Let's get into our next DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. It has a title called The Drain of Complaint. What is our song?
Yeah, run.
All right, talking about the drain, Malachi 2:17. Notice these are in Malachi. Have you noticed that the first one was in Malachi, and now this one is in Malachi? There's a reason for that. Well, what's the reason for that? Well, that's where I'm closing out of my devotion. I'm super excited. I got another new translation. Woo-hoo-hoo. I get excited. So I'm closing out on the Old Testament, so there'll be another complete read, and then I'm getting ready to – I'm into a New Testament version, and then I'm going into a new Old Testament version. I'm super excited. This is in the end of Malachi, the drain of complaint, Malachi 2:17. You've heard me quote it about 500 times since we've done the show. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you ask, how have we wearied him? When you say, everyone who does evil is good in the Lord's sight, and he is pleased with them. Or when you say, where is the God of justice? Drama emphasis added by me. Because sometimes people read this stuff and they just read it like robotic, like it's your phone changing text to speech. And they'll read it like this. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you ask, how have you wearied him when you say everyone who does evil is good in the Lord's sight and he is pleased with them? And where is the God of justice? Okay, that is not how people talk. That is how a text-to-speech program talks. So unless you're a smartphone or a really old computer, stop it. This has life in it. You've wearied the Lord with your words. The word wearied means drained or exhausted. I was talking to somebody this weekend, and they were making mention of somebody that had met them at a sporting event that they knew kind of indirectly, kind of like an indirect relative, not like a direct relative, like a by marriage kind of relative, like on the outskirts kind of thing. And this person commented to this person about that individual talking to them throughout the entire sporting event. And this person said to the person, by the time the sporting event was done, I was completely drained, but not from the event. That means that the person who was talking was like, blah, 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 blah. And by the time that everybody was done, the person who was listening was going, if I saw off my left ear. You understand what's going on there? And so the Lord goes, you have wearied me with your words. Now, it's not as though the Lord gets actually in the sense of that literal weary. He's trying to say, you're draining me. You're exhausting me. You're blah, 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 blah. And it's like, come on. And so then the question is asked, well, how? How is that happening? And it happens in two ways. The two ways are this. The people that say evil is good to God, and the people that say, where is the God of justice? So let's understand these are two sides of one coin. Everyone who does evil is good in the Lord's sight, and he's pleased with them. In other words, or in other statements, people are saying, people that do bad ought to get smacked in the head, and I want to see them get smacked in the head. And because they don't get smacked in the head, I think God's on people's side who do evil. I don't like it. And then the other side of the mouth, they go, where is the God of justice? He should smack them in the head. And that's kind of how this goes. Evil is good to God in these people's minds because they get away with stuff. Have you noticed as a Christian you don't get away with stuff? Have you noticed when you lie, God goes, hey, that's not true. And then you go, woe is me. But then somebody else that you might know can lie and get away with it, and it's like nothing happens to them. And you're like, come on. How come they're not getting tagged and I get tagged? It's the exact same thing in the opposite direction. You know, all these people that are screaming for social justice and so on and so forth in the streets with the Black Lives Matters and all these different movements. It's pretty simple. They're pretty much saying, where is the God of justice? He doesn't operate in our time frame. Therefore, we will declare justice. It's like, okay, first of all, man's justice or man's wrath never works the righteousness of God. I'm pretty sure everybody knows that. And number two, man's perception of righteousness is based on sin. Our perception of righteousness is tainted. So when people go, where is the God of justice? They're really saying, I don't think God is doing a very good job. I think this God of justice thing needs a little help. And really what that is people's perception of justice. So let's be honest, because I'm not going to just do this one side. I'm going to do this two ways. When Barack Obama became the president, there was a large amount of people in the United States of America that were thrilled. And then there was a large amount of people in the United States of America that were in despair. This is what happened. Then when Donald Trump became president, there was that people that were in despair were in less despair, and the people that were all excited before, now they're in more despair. And each side is claiming injustice. Don't tell me you haven't done it. Each side makes the claim for justice. Hilarity. Since the best man can do in righteousness is filthy rags before the eyes of God. Isaiah 64, 5 and 6. Wow. Maybe we should stop wearying the Lord with our words and just be thankful that we get to journey with him, not tell God he's doing a lousy job of being God. I don't want to have the Lord go, you know, I'm really tired of you. That just doesn't sound good, does it? All right. We're going to take a short break and then come back. And we're going to do something I promise we haven't done on this show yet. We're going to talk about the wall. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. All that I am,
I lay. Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over two decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
$100,000 inside an old console TV set. The TV had been put in the trash, and once it got to the recycling plant, a worker found the cash as he was dismantling it. Police were actually able to track the money back to the original owner, who put it in the TV set 30 years ago and then forgot about it. Now, as you start to think about the places in your home where there might be some hidden cash, think about the treasures that are hidden in the Bible. Every page of the Bible points you to the peace and joy that are found only in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus died to take the penalty for your sins. That means you can live forever with God in heaven if you surrender your life to Jesus. Are you ready to crack open a Bible and discover these treasures? A great place to start is the book of John. And we're here to help you out too online. Just go to findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A couple of things to let you know about as well. Moms in Prayer Annual 5K Walk by Faith, April 8th at 8:30 to 10:30 at Kit Carson Park in Escondido. More information, go to momsinprayer.org. Momsinprayer.org. Let's see. Don't forget about Experience Israel with Pastor Sean Thornton, okay? Pastor Sean Thornton going to be leading the crew, going to be taking place in November, I think it's 1st to the 10th. We got to get that information added onto our list. And for more info on that, you can go to experienceisraeltour.com or go to KPRZ. That would be the ticket to do it, okay? All right, so we've got the trip. We've got the gals doing the Moms in Prayer, always a good thing. Don't forget 40 Days of Hope. That ends April 9th. And hope is about uniting around the things we value. KPRZ.com has more information on that as well, okay? Okay, all right, All right, here we go. Oh, we are going to do something that hasn't been done. I'm going to give Tugboat Todd the extra second to get in the seat as he's helping run two stations right now. Do you know how hard that is? It's really hard, isn't it? It's hard to run two stations, isn't it?
Good thing I got four arms.
Yeah, but what do you do with two legs and four arms? That's good for ping pong. All right, let's get ready. We're going to play. We're going to talk about something we haven't talked about yet, the wall. And it's not going to be the way you think it's going to be. So let's just do it, and then you can send me your letters later. What do you want to play for the music on the wall? There you go. You could not play that. That's the only really thing you could have played. Here it is. Jerry Brown says the following, if you can follow this. Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press, Governor Jerry Brown, Democrat of California, said it was not a Christian thing to build a border wall to stop people from coming into the United States because everybody is a child of God. Number one, Jesus said everybody is not a child of God. He said in John chapter 8 to the Pharisees, you're of your father, the devil. That pretty much makes it powerfully understood not everybody is a child of God. There's Jacob and Esau, for those that do not know. Jacob I loved, but Esau have I hated. Doesn't sound good for Esau as a child of God. But I don't even want to deal with that because that I can do that all day long. Let's have more fun, shall we? Let's talk about the concept of a wall in the Bible. After all, if you're going to talk about what the Christian thing is or isn't to do, you ought to know what the words of Jesus are to make application to whether it's Christian or not. Because if somebody says it's Christian but doesn't connect it to Jesus, you got a lot of problems, pretty much like having Christmas without Christ. Doesn't work. So let's talk about the wall. I personally am not the same level, enormous, unconditional fan of Donald Trump that many people are, though I have nothing against him and am exceedingly excited that a businessman may actually get some business stuff done in the country, in a country that's based on business. I got no problem with that. But I will tell you this right now. I dislike the media. I dislike cable and radio hosts who teach a Bible that they haven't read. I dislike Hollywood, and I dislike most politicians much more than my feelings about Donald Trump. That's just a fact of life. I think politicians and people in Hollywood and cable and radio hosts who try to teach the Bible but haven't read it, and the media in general, are just generally deceived and deceiving. So I do have a problem with that. Now, in regards to the wall, let's talk about the wall, shall we? Because we're talking about the wall from a Christian point of view. I don't want to hear what this church says. I don't want to hear what this church says. I want to hear what God says in his word. Revelation chapter 21, verses 10 through 15. He carried me away in the spirit to a mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down from heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. Three mentions of walls in the New Jerusalem temple. God is not opposed to walls. The glorified city has walls. See, this is the kind of stuff that drives me nuts. You're thinking, well, hold on, Dave. No, let me finish. Ezekiel chapter 40 mentions walls 20 times in regards to the temple. And oh, by the way, there are 270 plus mentions of walls in the Bible. Ezra and Nehemiah, the entire two books, is about building a wall to protect, establish, and honor the Lord away from people who reject God's laws and customs. Only those who would adopt the culture of Israel were allowed in. These are the Bible facts. The parable from Jesus in Matthew 21:33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, and he put a wall around it. This is Jesus teaching about the vineyard, knowing the process of building a vineyard that would produce fruit and having a wall around it. The temple wall of David and Solomon had an outer courts for the Gentiles completely walled off to separate them from the people of God. The walled city in Moses' time is referred to 10-plus times in Leviticus chapter 25 alone. And, of course, after Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, God put a protective barrier wall around the Garden of Eden so they could not get back in. This I did in 4 minutes. This wasn't even a study. The problem is not the wall. The problem is not the Democrats and the Republicans. That's not the problem. The problem is the spirit of the world that fights using people to just dismantle one another, destroy one another, and kill one another. You can't possibly think this is an R&D issue. This is a much bigger spiritual issue. God is not opposed to the wall, but that's not why I'm bringing this up. I'm not speaking of the wall of the United States. God is not opposed to walls. Let me make sure you understand that. However, Governor Jerry Brown invoked Christianity to defend his position. And by doing that, he subjects himself to the biblical truths established in Christianity. And there is nowhere in Christianity that you see the wall being removed, protecting the people of God. Nowhere. In fact, the premise is that Jesus is the gate to get through the wall, and the only way to get through the wall is the very narrow gate of Jesus Christ, because there's a wall. In other words, just listen to the logic. Jesus is the door. He's the gate. Well, he's the door to what? He's the gate to what? To get in to heaven and to fellowship with God, which means without the gate, there's nothing but protective barrier or wall. I don't mind that Democrats and Republicans disagree upon this. That doesn't bother me. I'm telling you, the only thing that's bugging me, I'm just being 100% honest. Dave, as an American, do you think there should be a wall? Sure. Everybody else got a wall. Seems like that seems fine. In fact, the Great Wall of China is supposed to be a pretty great wall, I guess. Here's the bottom line. Don't use Christianity to tear down this political maneuvering that's going on, because if you do, the best argument in the universe is the New Jerusalem is protected by walls. And you can't get in except for Jesus Christ, which means not everybody gets in, which means when Jesus said narrow is the way, narrow is the path, few there be that find it, there will be more people who don't get into the New Jerusalem that then do get into the New Jerusalem. No, not everybody's going to heaven. Yes, it's going to be less. And the answer from God is, too bad, it's my heaven. If you don't like it, create your own. Thus endeth the lesson. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back with our Facebook post. Don't go anywhere.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
There is truth that predates us, and it will outlive us. It's called biblical truth. This is Jim Garlow. Ultimately, our opinion matters very little. Mine or yours. But biblical truth does matter. Oh, I know there are those who say, oh yeah, according to whose interpretation? The answer is, according to the collective minds of authentic followers of God for the last 2,000 years, following standard hermeneutical principles. Others will argue, well, it's his interpretation against yours, right? No, the Bible was written plainly. Tearing up a baby in the womb is anti-biblical. Redefining marriage is anti-biblical. Depriving people of expressing true creativity through excessive governmental control denies the integrity of the human spirit. It's anti-biblical. Economic taxes that break citizens' financial backs? It's unbiblical. The Bible can spare us a lot of pain, personally and nationally, if we'll read it and follow it. You'll find more at jimgarlow.com.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Somebody wants to know, did you take political angry pills? No. I have a problem when people use partials, pieces of, to try and like make a point, a social point that just is not there. I don't have any problem having those political discussions and laying everything out. But if you're going to use scripture, or if you're going to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to do so with that which is recorded in regards to what he had to say, and not what somebody gets to make up as they think is a belief in Christian faith. You can't do Christmas without Christ. Period. Oh, the Christmas spirit. Oh, hey, you know what the Christmas spirit is? We're sinners and we better repent. That's the first message of John the Baptist, the first message of Jesus, and the first message of the church, the early church in Acts chapter 2, when Peter gave that message, repent. That's the message. Okay. See, fortunately, because Jesus is with us, we can. That's the big deal. Let's get ready to do our Facebook post. That was just fun. I've wanted to say something about that for a while. So at least I had the chance to do so. Let's get ready to do our Facebook post, which is only semi-spiritual. I'll tell you that right off the bat. Do we have a sound for this? What is our sound for just a good idea?
Attention inventors. Have a great idea or invention? Then you need Inventech.
There you go. Attention inventors. Do you have a great idea? Well, then you need... Okay. This Facebook post is not exceedingly spiritual. Exceedingly. Did you hear my voice crack when I just did that? It's kind of cool. It is not an exceedingly spiritual element, at least not to the very end. So it starts off with this way. This post is not just a Bible quote or anything. It's just a good idea. Did you ever just have a good idea. So, for example, the Bible does not say, you know, look both ways before you cross the street. It does say don't be, you know, foolish, but it doesn't say look both ways before you cross the street. But you know what? When you're walking, that's a good idea, right? It doesn't say you should get, you know, 8 hours of sleep or 6 hours of sleep. It's a good idea. I mean, there's some things it just doesn't say that we don't want to get, you know, too deep into. It doesn't say an In-N-Out burger tastes really good, but an In-N-Out burger tastes really good. Okay, so there's some practical elements of life, so you can all get over it. It doesn't say, you know, the Bible doesn't say Ohio State's a great football team, because it's not. I mean, they just move on from there. So what it does do, though, is encourage us to do the right things in the right ways in the right time. So there was something that I came across, and I mentioned this before, and I want to mention again, that sometimes you get involved in a project, and you really want to get out of it, or you don't want to do it. Have you ever been asked at work to do something that you don't want to do? Have you ever been asked in school to do something you don't want to do? Have you ever been asked something in family, like Thanksgiving dinner, that you don't really want to do? Have you ever worked on a project? Have you ever had a discipline? Have you ever needed to go on a diet? Have you ever needed to get involved in exercise? Have you ever had to go to a meeting? Have you ever had to do a reading? Have you ever had to travel somewhere? Have you ever had a mission? Have you ever had a plan or a vision or a requirement or a responsibility, whether it's spiritual or not? Have you ever had one of those and you didn't want to do it? That's all I'm asking you. Well, here is just a good idea. Ready? If you can't get out of a project, then get into it. If you can't get out of it, don't get weird on me, keep it easy. If you can't get out of it, then get into it. Sometimes you have to do a project, a discipline, a diet, an exercise, a meeting, an assignment, a reading, a travel, a mission, a plan, a vision, a requirement, a responsibility. Whether it's spiritual or not, sometimes you got to do it, and you just, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. You Scooby-Doo it.
I don't want to do it.
But you have to do it. So since you can't get out of it, get into it. You might as well do whatever you can to make the best of it, regardless. I had a project that I was involved with. We have a lot of project requirements here at the station that have to do with different ministries and have to do with some ministries I like and some I don't like as much. And sometimes I would prefer not to do something, but if I'm unable to get out of it, the only other choice I have is to get into it, because I'm still going to have to do it. And that's part of the process of life. If you can't get out of it, then get into it. So I know you're sitting there thinking, well, is that kind of scriptural? Well, yeah, actually it is. Because the scripture says, whatever you do, do it with all your might. And that's Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, do it with your whole heart. Do it. Because when you can't get out of it, you gotta do something with it. You got to get into it. Otherwise, you're just going to prolong your misery. And that's all I'm saying. So let's use an example. You know, let's say you have to go to the dentist and you don't want to go to the dentist. You know you go to the dentist, it's not going to be the most fun experience. Not that dentists are bad. All the dentists I've ever worked with have been great. Well, most of them. Anyway, my point is you might as well like go after it. And say, yep, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to get it taken care of. Instead of it letting it, you know, suck the life out of me, I'm going to let it be a part of what I do, and I'm not going to let it rob me from my existence by haunting me and taunting me. If you can't get out of it, then try to get into it. Now, if you're having a hard time doing that, which I have had, then you ask the Lord, Lord, I'm not going to get out of this. I see this is happening. It doesn't look like this is going to escape. I'm just going to give everything I can to it the best I can. Does that mean that you're going to enjoy it? No, I did not say enjoy it. I just said get into it. Get it done. Get it taken care of. Put yourself into it. Maybe the Lord has called you to do some process of education. Maybe you've got 85, 90 credits, and you know you're supposed to get your 128 credits to get your four-year degree, and you're just like, oh, no, 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 no. Stop that. get into it, get it done, get it accomplished, fulfill the task. Because if you can't escape it, you might as well do it, and you might as well go after it. And I can liken this to dieting, right? Who wants to diet? No. But you might as well find the best diet you can and do the best you can to do something. Because if you do nothing, you're just going to sit there and taunt yourself and haunt yourself. That's not a good plan. And the scripture does say, whatever you do, do it with all your might, with all your heart. Colossians 3:23. It's just good advice. Try it. I think you'll find a few things you'll get through a little easier. Okay, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You're going to take a short break, then we're going to have Marty, then we'll be back for more. Don't go anywhere.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.